everyone, and welcome to another Mystery School podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Cox, and we have another great episode for you guys tonight. And I'm super excited to have Dee McKenzie here with me in the studio. And we are going to talk about some really good things. I've known Dee for a little while now, a couple of years, I think, and always had good conversations. Always feels like we just known each other for a long time. I think probably a lot of past lives or something. So I think even we were talking before everything got started, and I was like, man, we're way into it. I hope we should be recording already. So I think it's just going to flow and be really fun and be really awesome. Like I said, I've known her for a little while now, a couple of years, I think. She spoke at Awaken the Tribe that we did in February. She did an awesome job, awesome presentation. And I think she's just a little bit on fire with the public speaking. So I think you said you listened to the Freedom Podcast that we did. And I think that just ignited her even more. So we're happy to have her here with us. Dee, thanks for being here. If you want to introduce yourself a little bit, feel free. And
yeah. So, Dee Kinsey, I am, currently on my own mission to help folks understand the power of their own healing through the somatic processing. And, that happened for me because I had gotten myself cornered, you know, by all accounts. I was active, healthy, successful. I was working, had a job, had great, you know, great circle of friends. Everything looked great. But I'd gotten myself really sick. And through that experience, I've been doing all the work. But for some reason, there was something that was missing. And to shorten the story, somatic processing entered into a deeper understanding of somatic processing entered in to my world. And through that experience, I was able to really get after some of the physical pain, the emotional pain, the spiritual pain, and I could reconnect with my world and other people in a whole new way. And so when we talked about freedom, when I heard you speaking about freedom and, you know, the different topics you were covering, I felt like there was another level that I was hungry to talk to you about it in the conversations that we have, because I want to drop underneath that a little bit. And because when we are free here, expressing a human expression, we are able to be even more free and experience freedom differently.
Right.
We're able to, you and I were talking about this ebb and flow of life. When we're hunkered into a protective stance, when we are locked into fight, we're locked into flight, or we're frozen because we can't do either of those. Where for me, it was a toxic job. Like I had to just go be there every day. So I was in a frozen response. My ability to learn and communicate and be in that environment or in my world was so limited. And my body reflected that back to me. I could hardly move my joints, my muscles hurt, my digestion wasn't working. And then that clogged my brain. And then next thing you know, I'm having a hard time with all kinds of things. And I'm getting frustrated and angry and, you know, just pile. So I'm here because I was just passionate about sharing this with people. I want to plant seeds, let people know that this is even something that we're not told about.
Right.
Like that our bodies can keep us. It's designed to keep us safe.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. But because we haven't learned how to process our responses to our environment in a healthy way, we store it. And when we store it, what I was just talking about, we pile it in and we start to experience these twisted, you know, the body gets constricted and the chemistry's off and everything just gets all out of whack. So that's what I'm here hoping to just dialogue with you tonight and just see what comes up. I'd love to share more about it. My business partner is Susan Blue. It's her work that we're modeling this after because she has spent her life as the model for somatic processing. And she teaches this in a very experiential way. It's not cognitive. I don't want to give you something to think about. I want to give you something to feel about. And when you feel it, you can move it.
You can.
And when you move it, it leaves. Right. You have pain release. You have the tension go away. You have clarity like you've never had before. So Susan Blue's work is the thing that brought me back to health. And now I've been constantly studying with her. We'll never be done, but the Bloom Method is what I'm on a mission to get out to the world in as many platforms as I can. And we are doing introductory courses all the time, but as many times as I can get in front of people to tell them that there's another possibility for their life, that's what I want to do.
Do you want to tell everybody a little bit more about what the Blue Method is?
I would love to.
Yeah, go ahead. I think I know a little bit, and I feel like when you just said it there, I'm like, oh man, I want to know more about it. I don't know enough about it. So
sure. So the Blue Method, again, Susan Blue, is a framework to help people step through and learn how to reconnect with themselves. So each letter has its own step. So the B in the Blue Method is to breathe and befriend your body. So it's just like you started this episode. We stopped.
Yeah.
We settled in and we got connected. Mm-hmm. And what the beautiful part is, when we connected with ourselves, we connected and we connected,
right?
Absolutely. With everybody. Absolutely. And that's how it works. So when we stop, we breathe, we take a breath. The breath of life can't be more grounding, and we take it for granted. So learning actually be with the breath, and it sounds at the surface level, that's why we're not cognitive. We don't want to give you this big old, you know, workbook of things to learn about. We want to give you a simple framework to experience. So when you breathe and you befriend your body, you just stop and you settle in. The L in the Blue Method is to locate. We want to find in our body the thing that's the loudest, because most of us.
The thing that's the loudest?
The loudest.
Oh, the loudest. Okay.
Because we probably have a lot of things that we've piled on. Okay. And it's easy to get overwhelmed if we're not careful with trying to solve everything at once.
So that's kind of looking at the thing that's screaming out that needs help, that needs some love, you know, right?
I have a pain in my arm. For me, it was most recently a shoulder. And I forget. Oh, I forget. So, you know, just being with it, locating it, right? And breathing into that spot. And as soon as we start to do that in a very genuine way, we start to unwind it. So the U is to unwind, be with it, let it show you and let it soften. And the E is to experience, right? And integrate that new version of you, because when you are able to release that and that moves out of the body, a whole new level of you shows up. Mm-hmm. And of course, boop, there comes the next thing.
Right. Yeah.
So the Blue Method is just a way to really just get in the habit of doing this, because it took me a while. But now, you know, when I experience something and I feel that emotion coming up, someone cuts me off, it could be something as traffic, mm-hmm. or it could be something of this long-term work thing that you got going on.
Yeah.
Just noticing that anxiety, it's bubbling up. And instead of resisting and hunkering down and taking a posture with it, you're able to go, okay, I'm just going to breathe into that, because it feels big. And as soon as you just look at it, you just turn your focus to it.
Yeah.
It immediately will start to take it down a notch. And it gives you a little bit of a foothold into more possibility for you. Mm. So that this is the journey. And there's obviously more that surrounds that because of how we are in the world and how we want to integrate ourselves into it. But the framework is what surrounds, or is the foundation of all this.
Right. And I love that too. It's not like some blue drink that you're going to drink. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I feel like the Blue Method, you're like, is it going to be, we're going to drink some blue stuff or something? Like, no, but it's about you. It's about tune in to your body. Where's things going on? Locate it, love it, you know, and experience that. I think that's awesome. So I think that's where I'm definitely at and where I've been with some of my things that have gone on. I had autoimmune disease for probably over a decade. I don't even remember now how long it was, but probably 11 or 12, 13 years, something like that. And I went to the doctor and they're like, we can't do anything. We can give you these antihistamine pills and make you tired and they don't do anything. But I was like, there's no way in the world that I'm going to continue to take this all day. So I did. I mean, I kind of did that. I just, what's going on? Where do I need? And I just started asking questions.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And that was like 21. So he was young, you know, at 20. I was just like, it's something. I was like, I know there's got to be something else. And I went to the doctor a couple times and they like said, we don't know how it happened. We don't know whether it's going to go away or not. We can only do this to make you feel you know, yeah. not
survive it. That's
yeah,
it.
Survive it.
That's all we got for you.
I was like, that's not good enough, no. you know? So I did. I listened and, you know, it was like eat better. It was like have better emotions, do yoga. And then eventually one day it was just gone. And it was like, I mean, it was like, they called it urticaria, urticaria, people call it. But my skin would get really crazy itchy. And I could like write on my skin, just barely with my fingernail, and it would raise up heavy, red, hot whelps. In the exact way I wrote my name. It was just really weird and really strange. But I contributed. I healed myself. You know what I mean? Like
this is what's available to us.
It's what is available, right? And it was like, I'm not special. Like anybody could do it, but you have to tap in and listen.
It's a decision we make because it's really about whether we want to give the authority to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And this kind of ties back into my passion for your topic of freedom, mm-hmm. because we can give our authority to someone else and we can survive the experience. We can have surgery and we can keep altering our body because it keeps hurting or, you know, things are out of alignment. Oh my gosh, it's out of alignment because we've been constricted our whole life, but it's giving our authority to somebody else rather than knowing that we have this potential within us and it's simpler than we think it is. And it's so simple. In fact, we don't even want to do it. Yeah. There's times when I just want to be miserable for some reason. I just want to be hunkered in my anxiety or my whatever. And I get off on a tangent and all I have to do is just stop. But it's a muscle we have to build. Mm-hmm. And it's a decision we make to free ourselves from those.
Yes. And I think it costs a lot. It's a lot of responsibility that you have to take, you know, it's like this didn't randomly happen to me. I'm not randomly sick.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like if I can heal it, if I created it, then I can heal it. And that's where, I mean, I told you earlier in one of my first yoga sessions that I ever did, I was just doing the old back bend, turn around, and I had this euphoric release of what was 100% grudges that I kept my whole life. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, I knew right then and there, I was like, man, you'd hold grudges against people. And I was right? I was right that they were wrong. But you know, it's like what Buddha said when he said, if you want to, anger is like holding on to a hot coal with the intent of throwing at someone else, but you're the one that gets burned. And I got burned. I had this, you know, back pain and everything that was really significant. And I had no idea that I caused it. I would never have thought that, but you know, going to yoga class the first time, it was a 100% release. And I was like, oh yeah, there's another thing that I'm responsible for too. You know, I'm not just responsible for my health and my wealth and my life, but my dis-ease. And I think that's one thing that's really hard for people to realize, like that whole word dis-ease, it's that simple. It's just, you're not at ease. You don't have to like, you know, do something super crazy, but we've done all these things through our life and through our lives that have, you know, built on these diseases, built on this trauma and these things that are heavy, hanging heavy in our body and, you know, really bringing down our nervous system, as you're saying, and just bringing down our health in a big way. And it's really not as complicated as I think that we make it out to be. Like we've just got into dis-ease because we're not in ease anymore. If we were in ease and in flow and happy and allowing our, you know, electrical systems and the prana to come in and breathe and, you know what I mean? You could heal so much very easily.
Absolutely.
And I think that's when you start to realize, oh, if I can do that now, if anything else comes, I can do something else here. I can heal cancer. I can heal anything. And I think a master of that can eventually heal it in anybody too. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. How did that change? So you were able to release this grudge. How did that change your interaction with the world around you?
Once that released? Oh, I was very, very much aware of the experience with other people. So if someone else said something to me, or, you know, someone judged me in a certain way or expected something out of me, or I expected them to do something, you know, I say, hey, are you going to meet me here? Help me move my stuff or something. And they didn't show up. I wouldn't hold a judgment like that dude's, you know, wrong or whatever for not doing it. I would just be like, that was something a part of me that made me realize, you know, maybe I can do it on my own, or maybe I didn't show up for someone else. And so someone didn't show up for me. It just put all the responsibility in my wheelhouse,
right in the center.
Right here. And it was like, if I am responsible for all the things, you know, then I can be responsible for my heaven too. So I eventually realized like I have created my own hell on earth. Yeah. Like I got disease. I got the wrong partner. I got a job that, I don't want anymore. all the things. I mean, I was at a ripe place and I literally gave everything I had away except for what fit in my car and drove to Colorado to work with kids. So, I just gave that's it all transition. Up. Right. It was very, very difficult to come work for $10 an hour with, special needs people. And, but I learned a lot and I gained a lot from that. So that was the point too. It was like, you're going to get a lot from this, but I did. I just gave it all away and left. And I knew that all the stuff that I had, that I would get it back. I would get all the things back and more, and I would manifest it. And I think the thing that I really, and maybe have all the faith, you know, and I was just like, I knew someone was been talking to me. I knew I had angels. I knew God was talking to me. Yeah. The books and the understandings and the epiphanies and the ahas and the eurekas and the synchronicities, they were all happening to me hard, you know? Right. So I was like, I knew it. And here I am, you know, and now I have way more, make way more and way more happier and more love of my life and more.
Yeah, you know, have more freedom. Calm,
and more freedom than I ever thought that could I even experience. I'm more freedom than I thought I could ever even experience back then. Right.
And not because of anything outside of you, but what you've created for yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the topics you had in your podcast was around spiritual freedom. You talked about, you know, getting stuck in the past or paying attention to the future. Those are nervous system responses of like, we're locked in survival. So we're either anxious. We've been surprised by something. So we're anxious and we're anticipating.
You live in the future.
You're living in the future or, you know, living in the past, just cycling through the old patterns of who did what to whom, the victim triangle.
That's we're depression. So familiar
with that. Yeah. Because we don't want to take accountability for our part in it. Not to say that the situation wasn't hard and, you know, that people were inappropriate or whatever, but hanging on to that, that's a nervous system response. We're going to stay locked into that. And our interactions in the world, how we're interacting, especially right now, I think is important because you hit on that. Like, we're so polarized, and it's not because we're never operating from the right now.
Right.
We're operating from who we've become from the patterning that's been created in our bodies. So me, I was a people pleaser from young, and people pleasing is a skill you learn as a child or in life, because if you can control the environment, this is one of the nervous system things we do, is the pattern of people pleasing. I'm going to make sure that the people stay happy. Everyone around me, I'm going to be super gooey, happy and accommodating. And there's a lot of energy that goes into that, because if I can keep everything good, then I will be safe. And it's just safe. One example of so many patterns that we create.
And you needed that, right?
I needed
to feel safe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the nervous system is always looking for safety. And so when we recognize and when we look around our environment and we recognize that we are in unsafe situations, of course, our body's going to respond that way. Of course, we're going to have pain. Or if we have unresolved circumstances from our youth where we've held on to grudges or disappointment or abuse. That winding in that area of the body that you're holding it, we're going to hold it in the places that we do. But, you know, we're in that survival posture, a lot of people's shoulder issues, hip issues, misalignments, is the tension in the body to hold us there. Because we know if we stay right here, right in this posture right here, we're safe. And we can't think.
Yeah.
I can't have a conversation with you that's open-minded because I want to blame you for something. I want to be a victim because I'm program or I've taken on the patterning of I got to protect me. And so everything else out, I have to push everything else outside of me and keep it separate. Because if I let it in, that means I have to move. I have to adjust something. And so just being with that and being with the body in a way that allows that unwinding and a new expression of yourself, it will change everything. And if people just knew that this is something that they've never been taught. And, you know, if you want to stay hunkered in all your opinions and your hate and there's people that are all the way over there in the, like, you do you, but there's so much more available to you.
Right.
And your health and well-being just by knowing these things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And like you said, when it's all that chaos kind of going inside it, it's easy to look outside and point your finger at someone else. But we all know when we point our finger out, there's three fingers pointing back at us. Right. And yes. I think that's, I just see that so easily that everybody who's talking, when you say, I hate this person for this reason, I just feel like you just said that about yourself. and I don't like this person because of this. And I was like, that means you don't like that about you, probably. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think. You know,
I just got that. I'm embarrassed to say I just got the concept of the mirror in the
recently,
you know, it's that whole, you kind of get it. And you're like, oh, where am I doing that? But you just kind of brush over it. And of course, you don't take accountability. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, every situation is an opportunity for me to go, where is that? Because like attracts like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, in the positive and the negative.
It does.
And so the patterns that we hold, we're going to attract people that have the same wounds as us.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, those type of people over there are our problem. Mm-hmm. And we're going to stay together because we, you know, yes, this is how we see the world.
I have definitely experienced that for sure.
Right. And yeah, it's all an opportunity. And there's more freedom if we just allow that patterning to show us where we're locked down.
Yes. I mean, once you start to see it and to realize it and understand the pattern that I'm constantly attracting magnetically the people, situations, circumstances, and events that tell me what I need to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm obvious to me when I go somewhere and I used to go to the grocery store and I got the wrong person who was grouchy and didn't, you know, want to be personal and didn't talk, whatever. And now I go to the grocery store and it's like I get the best person there, I think, and someone who was kind and show me more than I needed to know. You know what I mean? Like, I went skydiving for my birthday 2 years. And they were separate, was it a couple of years in between, right? And I was working on myself in both of them. But the first time I got a guy, it was not as kind and a little abrasive. And then the next time I got a guy who was much more kinder, much more, you know, like went out of his way to get a video for me. And just, you know, my birthday, and we're on the video, I'm standing on the edge of the airplane, Jacob, it's your birthday. How do you, like, just went out of his way to make it just that much better experience. And then when it was over with, I was going to give him a tip. My brain was like, give him that extra money, give him this. And I gave him that extra money. And then he took me to a little place in the back and made my birthday even better. So I was just like, right? Yeah. So it was awesome. I was just like, man, if you give more, you get more. If you're kinder, you get more kindness. And if you are someone that you don't want to see in the world, you're going to continue to see a lot of that out in the world. And mm-hmm, I realize more now, more than ever, my freedom and my peace, it is so important to me that I don't even want to argue with anybody else. Like, you're right. What you see is totally right. And that you're experiencing it that way too, so that you are right. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But I'll talk about politics. I'll talk about education. I'll talk about the current state of the world, the president, whatever you want. I got it. I'll do it all. But I think I only really want to do it is, are we going to learn something?
Yes.
Are you going to learn something from me? Because I'm going to try to learn something from you. But if you just want me to regurgitate what you think or mirror what you think,
yep,
I'm probably not. I'll listen to you, but I'm not going to, especially if it's going to, if you're angry about it, I'm probably, you're not going to sway me to that side when we end it up.
That's the whole thing. When we get in that dynamic, we can't engage the thinking brain, right? We've shut down, we're reacting, and we can't, I mean, getting this guy to work and intelligent and be creative and have a flowing dialogue, it's out the window when we've got ourselves in a passionate state like that. And it's not, there's no value in it. I'm with you. Like, forget about it.
Let's move on. Peace is much, much easier. Yeah. It's not worth your time.
Yeah.
It's not worth the seconds that you have on this beautiful planet to exist, to be here now. It's just like, you're not even here. When you're talking about all the stuff that you really hate, you're somewhere else. You're not here because most of the time, all that stuff's not happening here. I mean, I've never seen a president. I've never seen, you know, a lot of the things that people are mad about, you know, like, so I'm not experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's not happening, because it's surely happening for some people. But how do, you know, I love the Wayne Dyer quote when he says, basically loving people live in a loving world and angry people live in an angry world, mm-hmm, same world, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, I live in a pretty loving world. I live in a forgiving world, because if I'm somebody who could go through the life that I've gone through and done the things that I've done and been as dumb as I have and hurt the people I've hurt, then, you know, if I can forgive myself. I know God can forgive me and I can get to where I'm at. I think anybody can do it. You know?
Yeah.
Nobody's any special than anybody else or better than anybody else.
It's a decision to make.
Yeah.
It's a decision and how we're going to show up and what we want to experience. And we can experience either one of those things.
Yeah. It was just like, for me, like I went to the dark side, right? And I was miserable. And I was just like, I realized, like I said, if I can create my own hell on earth, then I have to be able to create my own heaven too. It has to be true. And I knew that I had made my own hell. So it's like, then I'm going to go for that. I'm going to give everything I own away, you know, except for what fits in my car and drive to Colorado to work with kids. And it all came true, and it all came true in a better way. And like I said, I feel like, man, even the person that I thought I was going to become is well beyond that, I think, at this point now. So it's all worth it. But you got to make a decision that there's no going back. And I think once you start to really wake up and, you know, you start to find some peace in some yoga classes or some love from a real friend or someone who really cares, or, you know, listen to some real truth, something that really, like, man, that's something deep. That's something crazy, you know?
You know,
then it's like, I need more of that.
Yes.
I'm hungry for that. I'm not hungry for food as much as I am for ideas and understandings and knowledge and wisdom and a life that's I can be proud of, you know, I can be grateful for.
You know, what's beautiful about I'll offer you is learning to be loving and compassionate for self. Being the person you want to have on the other side of you in those dialogues, in those conversations, in those relationships, because when we can actually look at ourselves and go, of course you're wounded, of course you're hurting, of course you are. And let me be the one that's here for you, because that's what you're telling the nervous system. We're safe because I know what I'm doing now. When I was this big, I had no choice.
Yeah.
What was happening in my world, I was along for the ride. Mm-hmm. Now we have to tell ourselves, like, I have a choice now. I can be compassionate for myself, or I can beat myself up. Mm-hmm. And that's the other, you know, the self-talk is so important, but actually sitting with yourself in compassion and letting yourself feel the woundedness, the sadness, the loneliness, the things that are part of what we've experienced in our lives, and being there for ourselves, mm-hmm, was the fastest way back to what you called heaven, mm-hmm, right? Back to the freedom of really knowing that you have the authority to create your own world.
Yes.
And then you are the person that you want to talk to. Mm-hmm. And so I talk to myself a lot, but that's not the topic of the conversation. But you know, it's the reality of, didn't you start to attract people that have that same frequency, that have that same knowingness, mm-hmm, and that have that same compassion for themselves? Mm-hmm. You know, because we were talking earlier about how we can feel when someone's going through something, and we can feel it because we've been there with ourselves.
Yes.
And we can't really empathize with somebody if we haven't really experienced it. We can sympathize, which is something. It's better than nothing. But true empathy, coming into that coherence with somebody and letting them feel that, man, I'm here with you, mm-hmm, and I feel you, right? And I'm, you know, just holding space for someone, so to speak. So I just offer that as something that we overlook as the entry point. There's still a tendency to want someone else to be here and save us, to have that conversation. You know, sometimes I get in all bent out of shape and I'm like, I want someone to call. I'm like, can't call. Cause no one else is going to understand. Mm. You sitting with yourself going, wow, that was really painful. And you did it anyway. And mm-hmm, thank you, because I wouldn't be here right now if I hadn't been there for myself.
Right.
And hadn't created people pleasing as a strategy to keep me and other people safe. Like, keeping that strategy was ingenious for a young person.
Right.
Because it kept everything somewhat even keel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I don't know what you think about all that, but I've really learned to just be really compassionate with myself.
Yeah. I think it's the hardest person to forgive is yourself, to mm-hmm, be compassionate, to be kind to. Because sometimes it's easy to be kind to a kid, or maybe someone, an older person or whatever, someone that you like.
Someone
or
else.
You're right. But yourself, like, you know, be a little kinder to yourself and, like, forgive yourself. You don't know it all. You don't have it all figured out. You can't remember where you put everything. And, you know, you just have to forgive yourself and let it go. I do think you can, like, basically change the past and the future, you know, just right here and now. And that, when you were saying the things that happened in the past, I can go back and think about all the things that I did or something that happened to me and be like, man, that hurt my feelings or whatever. And I probably suffered a great deal of my life thinking that I wasn't good enough because someone told me that, or that I didn't think that I looked good enough or something, you know? But at the end of the day, I've realized if I can be thankful for every experience, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, I get to decide what I did with that though, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone tells me, you know, you're no good, that's fine. But I can take that and realize like, well, the only reason that someone could have said something like that to me is if I actually am good. Like they're trying to convince me that I'm not. And maybe I've actually believed it or mm-hmm. someone took advantage of me and I'm only, you know, I'm realizing my own worth.
Yeah.
Because they took advantage of me and I can only be taken advantage of if I have worth. And I thought I was worthless.
Yeah.
And I feel like that bumped me ahead faster by having the physical universe, you know, manifest in a man or a woman, a boy or a girl or somebody else, a circumstance, an event that showed that to me and mirrored it to me and said, you think like this, you know, the boy on the playground who thinks everybody hates him. You know, the bully is looking for that kid, not looking for the people on the swing playing, having a good time and looking for the kid who already internally thinks I'm no good. No one likes me. Here comes the physical world. And he doesn't feel good about himself either. Right. It's not like we should.
It's a dynamic, right? Like attracts like.
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah. It's not like be mad at the bully. He's hurting people. No, like he's bringing you exactly what you need. And you're eventually.
And you're getting what you asked for.
And you're getting what you asked for. And he's going to get what he asked for. Because eventually I would think the karma is that you should eventually stand up to the bully and be like, hey, I have worth. Don't, you know, do this. And then eventually you probably guys can become friends. And it probably I've had that happen before, too, where the bully's turned into a friend. And I was like, oh, you know, are the person that I really hated the most. I ended up really loving the most.
Right.
You know,
is that the truth?
Yeah. The people the really, that I,
you know, polarities. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, you appreciate that about him.
Well, we had so much in common. And I was like, how do we have so much in common? I hated your guts. And it's like, well, you probably hated that part about yourself.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing that maybe we should chat about real quick is when I was a kid and I had this terrible car accident. I went through the window face first and I had to, you know, go to the hospital and like died three times and had to get like hundreds of stitches in my whole face and my head and everything and went to went to my grandmother's house for a couple months before I went back to school. And then I had to learn how to walk and talk again and be in a wheelchair and stuff. And that was a really hard experience. And, you know, it was really tough looking different, being different. And I probably struggled with that for most of my life. But now I went back to that place and I was like, man, how awesome am I that I got through that, that I made it through that. And I ended up having so much gratitude. And I realized that the reason why I probably work with special needs people now has a lot to do with that, because not that I'm a special needs person, but I had special needs. I mean, I literally had to learn how to walk again, how to talk again, how to
it felt like to be cared for, like
to be different, to be cared for. And like, my grandmother was the one who took care of me mostly. I literally laid on her couch. So she fed me and I peed in a cup and I couldn't, you know what I mean? Like she brought me back to health and I was able to live again and eventually like pretty much do everything again. It was, I obviously had like intense headaches, glass come out my face for months on end. It was, you know, intense as a little kid. But the funny thing is now, like after all this worked out, I'm super grateful for this experience. I am who I am because of it. I'm a stronger, better person. I probably have that empathy for someone who's different or in a wheelchair more so because of that experience. Cause I do know what that's like to be like that. There came like this kind of euphoric release that came with it and a sense of gratitude and love. And then my recent car that I drive is this happened in a red Jeep Cherokee in 1987. And I bought a red Jeep Cherokee 2017, which is 30 years after that happened. And I didn't even realize it until a couple of days into it. And I was like, wow. And I felt like it was kind of like the gold at the end of the rainbow type of deal, you know, where it was like, wow, like this is kind of like symbolic to you got through it. And look what happened at the end. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, kind of
significant, right? Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things we talk about in Susan's work is resources. And you are super resourceful. And what you're describing to me right now is you recognize that part of you that got you through it. And you informed your nervous system that said, hey, you know what? If we got through this, I can get through anything. And it changes everything about how we see the world, because we know we have the capability. We're not a victim to it anymore.
No.
And so recognizing our resources is so powerful in the work that we're doing and helping people recognize what you did on your own. Like, you're so wise. But I just wanted to call that out as something that's that helps people that have a tendency for like bad self-talk and all the things that get wrapped around the axle, to recognize all the way, hey, you know, I did that though. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I did this, you know, and then it starts to become that just builds us up from right. that place to let us know that we don't have, the nervous system doesn't have to protect us so much. We're actually pretty good.
Yeah. You can never be fully free if you think you're a victim. If you're a victim of circumstance, events, your mom and dad, the person that you broke up with, your ex-husband or wife, you can never truly experience true freedom if you're a victim. I 100% believe
that. So much in the world that sets us up for that though, mm-hmm. subconsciously. And it's an intentional decision to watch for it. I had this beautiful experience over the last week or so where I triggered an earlier wound where I guess in my life, I didn't realize how much I felt like I was unseen. Mm-hmm. I'm a middle child. So my middle child came up. And I had this experience. I had this really fantastic, we were doing the Ascended Masters stuff, mm-hmm. and I had this energetic experience and I really wanted to share it with people. And so we're at the dinner table and we're talking and I was like, I want to share this experience with you guys. And so I shared it real quick and everyone just looked at me and then they went about and changed the subject to just like, and I'm sitting there like, this was very profound.
Yeah.
And so I just watched the woundedness in me come up. And so I got up and I went for a walk. I had to do a few loops and think about it. But I realized that was something that was sitting there of not feeling not seen and being able to heal it and go, oh, okay, I see you now. Mm-hmm. Now that I see you, I can feel this part of me that says, oh, this really makes me feel this and that. And oh, poor me.
Right.
I can feel the victim in that, but I've moved that out. And then I have compassion for myself to say, it's okay. You're worth hearing. It was a really cool experience.
Yes.
And I got to the other side of it. So I watched myself go through the same work in a very real way for myself, by myself. Usually it's, you know, you dialogue with people, but those types of things, recognizing when our subconscious has us hijacked, mm-hmm. because we get fed all kinds of ideas.
Yes.
You know, for you and I'm pretty sure I watch what I'm exposing myself to because I know that, but a lot of people don't know yet. They haven't figured it out.
I knew a lot about that when I was a kid. Like there were certain things I was like, I knew I wouldn't watch. I never watched scary movies. I never wanted to watch a horror movie. I never wanted to watch something about like weird ghosts or something. I mean, I just knew that I didn't want to be scared. And I know now why, because it was like that fear plays a part in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think that there's a ghost behind every corner or there's somebody out there to kill everybody, you're on edge, right? I knew at a young age, and I still don't. I don't watch anything super scary.
I don't
want to be scared like that. And it doesn't scare me. I mean, it just, I just have no desire. I just don't want to at all. Yeah. Like I have no desire to want to watch anything that's just kind of like really weird, dark and, you know, trying to get you to jump out of your seat. I have no desire for that. And I knew it since a little kid. And that's why those are the things I think that first came up when I was really waking up and be like, man, this has happened before. You know, like I had wisdom as a kid that I wasn't just given, you know what I mean? It was something that I earned and this is not my first rodeo as a human being. So
You
definitely
very wise,
right? Yeah, I definitely did. And then when you go through, you know, the windshield of a car and, you know, everyone, when you live and then everyone tells you you're a miracle, like that was hard to believe, but I was literally told by everybody that I was a miracle and God had a purpose for me and all these things. And that was tough, but I mean, I definitely never forgot it. And it always stuck with me. And I was like, I must have a purpose then. I must have a purpose.
Yeah. And well, the fact that you walked through that, the layers of I had an accident myself, that the layers of healing and how that intersects all of our life, like people that are going through this big word called trauma, but mm-hmm. they've had something like that in their world mm-hmm. that has so many distinct layers. Not only does it bring up anything that was already there, but then you're relying on somebody else, or, you know, how you express yourself in the world, how you're able to move or not be free or not be free to move about the cabin, right? Those types of things, all those layers that people have to get through to get to the other side, while it's horrible can't be more powerful. And so
but it can't be finding people. It's got to be totally inspiring for you, right? Like, you don't even need the inspiration for anybody else. Like, you are your own inspiration. Yeah. And I feel like if you can go through your life with that, not being a victim, not saying anybody else's fault, it's all my responsibility. And I'm the hero of this journey. I'm the hero of this reality. I'm the movie star here. And it's not to an extent where, like, you know, it's an ego driven thing, but it's just like, give yourself some credit, man. Give, you know, like, it's tough. It's, you know, and then once you do it and you're like, oh, I can sit back and relax and chill a little bit too. You know, it's, I don't have to do all these crazy things I thought I had to be, you know, someone that needed to be seen or whatever. And, or someone to be heard, because I definitely felt like that I wasn't seen or heard as a kid. And even when I started waking up and I wanted to share these synchronicities and spiritual things that happened to me, to my parents and everything, and I felt like they just totally were like, didn't hear it, didn't care. And it was like hurtful again. I was like, man, again, bringing up the same kind of things I think you're exactly talking about. But I realized, like, that's also like the greatest gift too, because even if they don't see me for the Christianity that I have, that I possess, that I see, you know, it helped me refine it even more. So when I talk to my parents and I say something like, well, the Bible says this or this, that, I get to continue to chip away at all the imperfections, all the things that are just like, okay, well, let me read into that. Let me read into this. And I'm like, thanks, you brought something up for me. You, I forgot about that. I didn't remember that. What does that mean? Where did that come from? Who was saying that thing? And I just continue to refine my craft over and over again to where I feel like I could debate anybody. I could have a good discussion with anybody. You know what I mean? Like, not to, you don't have to believe what I believe, but I just go toe to toe with anybody on any, you know, spiritual subject or religion or anything.
We can't create anything new if we're just locked into our own stuff. So no, I am right there with
be
you.
Be thankful for all the people who challenge you and test you to, you know, I mean, don't be mad about it. I definitely was mad and hurt about it at first, but now it's just like, you know what? I don't have to throw all my pearls out there for people to trample all over, but I definitely like to throw little seeds out and little gold nuggets when I can, but I'm certainly going to be me and say what I want to say when I want to say it and what I believe in. And that's a powerful, you know, like, you don't have to, I don't feel like I have to convince anybody anything, but I feel like when I stand in my own truth and my own voice, knowing, it's powerful. Like,
now you have a voice.
Nobody can deny it. You don't have to say much. If you can be much.
Look at us having a voice.
I know, right?
You can listen or not, but we're telling you.
I'm going to be me no matter what. You can't change me with your ideas and things. I'll listen to anybody's stuff, but, you know, and I'm always, I think it's incredibly smart to say, I'm always willing to level up. I'm always willing to grow and to learn more. So, you know, if there are things I definitely, you know, I don't want to claim to know them. And I think that's really smart. I'm always willing to change my mind if you got me something good. But usually when someone says something I haven't heard, I don't know, either resonates, I feel it in my heart, my soul, or I don't. Right. Yeah. And that's what, even if it doesn't, and they're like, man, it sounded good. There have been some things that deception that's really out there. I'll go dive into it and look it up. And, you know, and there are things that I would have never thought in my wildest dreams I would ever, ever question that I found myself like literally in the middle of bawling my eyes out by myself. Like, man, I can't believe I'm questioning this. And I'm just full of emotions. And then there are things that people say, oh, this is true. This is true. You got to go check it out. And go check it out. I'm like, it doesn't do it. It's not doing anything for him. Yeah. There's nothing there for me in this. And I just, you know, I'm sorry, you know, but I don't feel it. And sometimes they're mad at me. And I'm like, man, I gave it a shot, you know, but when my body knows it, it reacts and it feels, and it feels like often angels are with me and standing around me and, you know, like, good job. This is it. And I'm, you know, I'm full of emotion and the Holy Spirit. Like, I feel really full of it. And if it's something that's true, it's even more. If it's something that's not, I just feel like, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying it doesn't work for me. So
it's not right for me.
Yeah. And maybe not even not right for me right now, you know, but if it's worth revisiting, I definitely will too.
Yeah. That's what we're missing in this world, is the ability to give you, everybody gets their own truth. Like, being able to have to feel it in the body, like, people like recognize the energy of truth versus the energy of not of deception and all the other things, you know, having that skill set. Important.
Right. And you said everybody does have their own truth, but I definitely think that there are deep truths that we all at some point have to realize and recognize that this is a truth. This is
a truth.
Yeah. You know?
Yes.
And there are laws to our universe, right? You know, hermetic principles and things like that I really resonate with, that I feel like if you live in another country or you go to another planet, there are going to be things that you just can't run away from. They're, mm-hmm. they're truths. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're always going to experience polarity. You're always going to experience the duality of gender is in all things. I mean, I'm big. I think the Hermetic principles are very as above, so below. I mean, those things, no matter where you want to go live on Mars or some other solar system, there's going to be the same. Some of those same deep truths are always going to be there.
Yeah, but it's how I walk through my path in any moment and decide which I'm going to bump up against.
Yes,
is what I'm referring to.
Yeah,
and everyone needs to go through their own journey.
Yes,
to build that own resilience and trust within their own self, and that brings us back to the body, how we're physically able to engage with the spirit realm, whatever whatever that means to you.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. I mean, it could be a different religion. It could be a different education. It could be how you were brought up differently by mom or dad or whatever it is. But yeah, you're right. It can be anything. I think we all have our different lives, our different truths, our different ways of getting there. And mm-hmm. I think once we get to a certain point, then there's just a narrow path after that for all of us to finish it off the journey, right?
Yep.
After and that,
we're going to hear about that next week.
I hope so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're talking about the Ascension podcast next Thursday. Yeah, I definitely will go off on that. The past couple of weeks, I get guided by my muses, my guides, and my spirits, and they really typically I'm really inundated in one subject for a long time. You know, a couple of weeks, sometimes a few days, but you know, usually it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Sometimes I can't not read about something or listen to something or just constantly get information about something, you know, through meditation or, you know, like I said, through people. I mean, if I'm hot on one thing, it just comes. So recently the past couple weeks has definitely been about the resurrection, and the tools, how we can all do that. And I'm very excited to talk more about that. And I want to save a lot of it because it's so good and so juicy.
It's so
but that's definitely one I definitely feel like in my past lives that I walked with Christ and I was in rooms with him in secret, just trying to get all the information and all the goodies and all the gold nuggets and just, you know, ask him every possible thing about everything. And that's what it says. I mean, it says in the open outdoors and everything else, he talked to people in parables because they weren't ready. But to the real true disciples, Christ, you know, told the meaning of those disciples. And I've been in rooms by myself and I've been in places where I've been in front of people where literally it's like a tap on the shoulder and turn around and just standing behind me, just downloaded a parable to me just right away.
Wow.
And I've had other experience where Christ was literally with me. You know, divulging incredible deep parables and secrets to me. And even once where literally felt like he was standing next to me and walked into my body and completely just changed my life for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel a very deep connection to Christ. And this feels, you know, it always feels like a big thing when we're in this time, Easter and resurrection. I have so much to say about it. So that's it. That's okay. All. I'm not going to talk anymore because that's too much of a juicy topic. That's going to be really good when we get into it, but I don't want to take away from your talk for today. So what else on the freedom? Did you have anything else on that subject that you're really hot about? Cause I mean,
I could go on for,
I know you could, time. Right?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I wanted to make sure people knew is their own authority, their own empowerment to create their own healing. It's this conversation we had, and that is, you know, just being with self and being and just breathing, befriending, finding it and being with it, letting it unwind out of the body so that you can release all that old baggage and express and experience yourself differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've covered a lot of that.
Yeah, I think the first thing that, since we're just talking about Christ too, the first thing I thought when you're talking about is it's your faith that heals you, right? Mm-hmm. When people come and say, Jesus, thanks for healing me. And he's like, man, it wasn't me that healed you. It was your faith that healed you. But if you don't stop sinning, and to me, that's if you don't stop lusting, if you don't stop your anger, if you don't let these things, you know, mm-hmm. run your life,
behaviors, yeah.
you're going to start having more of those things happen. So you better get it under control and have discipline and master those things. But it also, to me, that's the placebo effect in itself, too. It's like what I believe, if I go to a surgery, that's what's going to do it. If I go to this holy man, that's what's going to do it. But I have to believe it. It's all about my belief and my faith in that healer or that surgeon or that person. That's mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing is I'm responsible and I'm in control of this life. And I could go to all, do all the things. And if I never really believe that it's going to be the thing, it's never going mm-hmm. to be the thing that gets that heals you. It's really all about we really have to get to a point like I'm responsible. I'm not a victim. I'm powerful. I created this and I alone can change it and I can move mountains. And with, you know, allowing that Christ energy, that Buddha nature, the Krishna spirit, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, come through me and allow me to move those mountains, move that cancer, move that disease mm-hmm. out of my body where I'm no longer. And you, thank you for being here. You've showed me a great lesson. You know what I mean? That disease has showed me a wonderful lesson about myself, but I no longer need it. I've learned it. I figured it out.
So. Like that accident.
What's that?
Like the accidents or like that life-altering events that life in another path.
Yeah, and even that was so big because it was like I realized that every single person in my family who experienced something different, it was almost like we had all done these things over and over again. And now here's the one big event that does this for you and this one does this for you. And I think my brother was probably a little jealous overall because I got to not go to school for a couple months and hang out with grandma real much. You know, he had no scratches on him whatsoever, but, you know, that's fine. But I mean, all these things for our life, you got to experience. Here's the thing now that puts that in motion for you and me. And, and we've all been in these lives together and over again. And I just 100% knew that, you know, from a long time ago that, this was something that did something for all of us in a different way. You know, I'm sure my dad felt guilt for driving and we got hurt, you know, but no reason, obviously no grudge from me. You know, I'm not mad at you for it. We all needed it. We all needed this big thing in our lives to be the people that we came here to be. So we can be grateful. And then now, as we relieve that karma, we have things that can happen that can be better and more fun and more enjoyable, I think. Mm-hmm. And not as much suffering has to be involved in waking up and living your life. And I think that's what we're all kind of looking for. And it's like, no matter what it is, I mean, like I said, in a relationship or anything, like, hey, I'm glad that we got to meet. I'm glad that we got to be with each other. I'm glad that we've learned from each other. I'm not mad at you. I have no hard feelings at all, even too. We can still be friends and still chat. So at this point, that's how I try to see everything. It's like it's all happening for me. Nothing's happening to me. I'm not a victim. I am definitely the player, the protagonist of this movie, of this reality in my life. And that's what matters the most. So, and I want to experience the most freedom that I can experience in this life. That's the most important to me, and not engaging in conversations that are going to bring that down. That's number one, be peaceful and be harmonious with the world. Spiritual freedom, like we talked about, the mental, emotional, physical, but that spiritual freedom was the last one I really tried to touch on. And it's true, man. It's all up in here, and the things that we feel that we can surrender to the universe to allow us to sit here in this moment and not be controlled by anything else that's going on. Realize I'm alive and I'm a human, and it's what a beautiful experience. How grateful I am to be here and just breathe. Just breathe the prana into my body.
You can feel good in any circumstance.
Yeah.
That's freedom to me. Mm-hmm. Like I can regulate myself and you can do all that you're going to do. And I can still stay in my own presence and they call it regulate and let you do your thing. And it doesn't become about me. I don't have old wounds that are like wanting to go, but you know, how is that about me?
Right.
Like that's freedom for me.
Right.
It being able to be in this world, crazy, crazy world right now. Letting someone rage out or go off the deep end on the other direction and stay in my center, in my own truth, send them love, send them whatever. Mm-hmm. That to me is freedom.
Right. It's like, That story of Joseph, where he's literally put into prison by his brothers, sold to slavery, and he gets in, you know, the things happen and he ends up in prison. And he, I can only imagine this dude is just full of love, full of life, full of, oh man, it's all great. Because they eventually give him the keys. He's in charge of the whole jail. And next thing you know, he becomes like the king, second to the king. You know what I mean? Like, that's where you know this dude is free, man. Like, even they couldn't keep him in prison. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if you, could you be put into prison and still have the mindset, like, I'm totally free? Mm-hmm. Could you be put into a situation that you hate and still, I don't want to say hate, but you shouldn't enjoy maybe even, and still be happy and still be thankful? Like, that's when you really know, like, no outside circumstances has any control of me whatsoever.
Right.
I completely make my own. Yep. My own way in this world. I completely have the power to do
love at any moment.
At any moment. Nobody controls.
It's not what based on anything out here.
Yes. That's what that's kind of what I was alluding to last time. I that's what I want more than anything. I feel it, and I'm starting to have it more often. It's, you know, it's like riding a wave, you know, and you're on the wave and it's good and it feels good. And then sometimes you crash off, but like, when you get up there, man, all the hard work is worth it. And you're like, man, I'm really on top of this thing.
Ride a little longer.
Let's ride. Let's keep riding. Let's long. Let's get it hot. You know, let's keep surfing the universe. Yeah. Let's keep doing this thing till it's more and more, until there's nothing else but riding on top of the wave. And I feel like that is attainable. It is possible. And I think it's possible for anybody. And if you feel like, if you're out there listening to this right now, and you think that, you know, that's not available for you, I've never felt that, I'm telling you, it 100% is available to every single person who's out there.
Yeah. I just had something come up real quick. I'm not sure how much time we have left, but I wanted to just park on the idea that if you're listening to this and you're experiencing these, you know, anger or these other like feelings, or expressing yourself in the world in a way that you're not super proud of, it's not necessarily a personality flaw. If there's an opportunity for you to look at it differently, to recognize that there is something, some aspect of yourself that has been wounded, that has had experiences, that is locked in place. And it's as simple as being with you and allowing the body to express and hold space for yourself and be compassionate. Watch the self-talk. But it's easy to get in this judgmental, like, you're doing things wrong and you should. I hate when people shoot on themselves. Don't shoot on yourself. But the opportunity is to recognize that we get angry or we have these defensive patterns because something happened to us. So be gentle, be kind, and know that there's more available to you. And if you want more information, don't reach out. We are having these intro courses all the time. I'm going to speak as much as I can about it. There'll be more information available through all the modalities, the Facebook and all those things. But that's one of the things I wanted to remember to talk about, because it's so easy to get in that shame cycle, especially if that's part of the family dynamic or like the environment that you find yourself in, people pointing at you saying you shouldn't be mad, you know, and then of course, like, that's what we do. And so we get stuck there until we have some other thing that can help reach in and help us pull a different reality out of that. So
I realized through a past life regression that I had shame and guilt in like all these different lives, and they all, you know, played out a little bit differently, but each life had those two emotions.
Powerful.
Yeah. And feelings and thoughts. And I was just like, wow, man, that's been something I've just been carrying with me for so long. And it's time to put that baggage down. It's time to let it go.
That's some heavy baggage. That shame and guilt is one of the lowest frequencies we have.
Yes.
And it will paralyze you. It freezes you in place if you don't have the skills.
Paralyze you, keep you not doing the thing that you want to do the most, keep you depressed, and keep you heavy, keep you low. And I think that's what enlightenment is. You got to lighten up. You got to lighten the loads. You got to let some stuff go. You got to move on, level up. And yeah, it's really, I think it's dang right impossible to move up if you holding on to things like that. And that's what I say. You can't experience real freedom.
No. And you know, I will offer that I've learned one of the things to do, the direct route for me, is to allow myself to experience the shame. Just feel it.
Yeah.
Because what we do is we push it out. We resist the feeling of shame because it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. And so when you push it away from us, we can't just be with it. But just experiencing have you heard of right frequency?
Yes.
It's matching the frequency of it. Yeah. Allow yourself to feel that, and it will allow it to move. Mm. Just acknowledge, hey, I see you. I see you hiding right there. I'm tired of experiencing you and running away from you. So I'm just going to be with it. And so I just offer that as one of the quickest routes that I found in my own healing to just let myself be there in that deep, dark shame or guilt or whatever things I've done.
Right. Because it's almost like so scary. I want to do everything can to push it away. But like the real healing happens, just let it happen. What's the worst going to happen? What is, you know, it's not going to kill you. I mean, I guess it could eventually. You keep letting it happen, but
yeah, it's only if you keep resisting it.
If you keep resisting it because you're scared of what it's going to do. But yeah, I've had that happen where it's just like, all right, what is it that I'm so scared of? What is it that I'm so shameful for? Why do I have so much guilt? And when I started asking those questions, like I said, that's when things started happening. That's when the past life regression starts coming up. And it's like, and it just came up for free offerings, you know, like, here, can we do this for you? Yeah. And then you say, oh, okay, well, I see why this happened now at this exact moment. And I am aware of it. I'm here for it. And I honestly, I don't feel like I need it anymore. I can definitely let it go. Yeah. I don't want to keep
it. What's your thought on like the collective wounding? Like I feel like there's some aspect of, and we talk about energetic frequencies and things like that, but like, I really believe when we heal these things for ourselves and we pop that frequency out and we raise our frequency, we're able to kind of, we resonate differently with our environment and everything. And so in my mind, everything is able to level up and we heal it for other people that have this same wound. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but that's one of the things that sometimes we take in. If we're empaths, we can take in a frequency from our surroundings and hold that and not even, we won't be able to recognize it as our own, but even still be sinking into that and experiencing it and allowing it to just move instead of like resist and hold it in place. But there, I think there is a little bit of collective wounding that we have.
Yes. I think there are definitely things that we all, because we've all probably, many of us have reincarnated on this particular planet over and over again. So there are certain events and situations that happened that affected us all. And you know that because of the Global Coherence Project, where they're tallying the zeros and ones and the codes, and you know, things like Diana's death and things that they globally affect, 9/11, they globally affect our whole world. So I think when we do, that's kind of like kind of on a negative level, but there are positive events too that do the same thing.
Those don't get stuck in our bodies and you have to fight them.
No. But I do think when you said, when you heal something, I think you definitely heal something in your immediate family and your lineage. I think when I heal something in me and I bring it to me to work, it gets to, you know, it's kind of like this contagious thing that it can rub off on the people I work with, the people I commune with, the people I come over to eat at my house. And, you know, and collectively the guy next door who may not even ever see me, but you know, or the person in your apartment complex who lives close. I think it definitely does. As we level up a little bit at a time, it collectively heals the whole world. Yeah. I really do think we're all that connected it really does.
Yes.
So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you think about someone like Christ who did what he did for us, I think, so that we could understand a little bit more and leave probably an incredible imprint in all of us who have been here for a long time to know that we collectively did that to him. And he did it for us because he loved so much to realize like, hey, I want to imprint a memory that they will talk about for thousands of years after this, that you guys will remember and realize what you can do now to be that Christ, you know, you can do all the things I'm doing and greater things. Yeah. It's time for you to do them too. Yeah. So I think even that's like, I mean, how many people globally now, billions of people who claim to be Christian, but I mean, how many people of us are affected by those things and that time that's coming up, this resurrection time's coming up that we're so affected by that we're so inspired by. And you never even, you know, technically we never met him. Right. But, it just leaves this global imprint on all of us, you know, that it's still there. And a lot of other people did too, obviously do a lot for humanity. But that's just one that comes to mind off the top of the head for the time period that we're in. That, you know, you just know that that one act alone has pushed people to be better, has made people realize like, I don't want to do that to anybody anymore. Let's be better people, you know? So, yeah. When we heal ourselves, we heal our lineage, we heal our friends, we heal the people around us, we heal people we don't even know.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
And it's very beautiful.
Amen.
Now it does feel complete, right? That feeling right there just felt like that was it. That was a completion of what we're here and came to do today. So thank you.
Thank you
very much. And I just want to say thank you to all of you out there, all the ones that are listening, all the ones that are here today on the live stream, the people who follow the podcast. I'm really thankful at the end of the day so much for this, just to be able to get these thoughts out, to chat with other people. It's just an experience that over and over again just feels better and better. And you know, I just can't express any more gratitude than that. I'm just so thankful to get to do this on Ascension Works TV. And so I just want to say thank you to every single person tonight that's watching this. Thank you to every single person who's ever experienced the mystery school. The light and love and divine nature in me sees, honors, and recognizes the divine nature in all of you. Namaste.